Miss Watson complained about everything I did. Don't put your feet up there, Huckleberry. Sit straight in your chair. Why can't you improve the way you act? Don't be so disrespectful to those who are trying to correct you. Then, when she told me about hell and said that it was where bad people go when they die, I said that I wished I was there already. Well, she got angry when I said that, but I didn't intend to make her angry. All I wanted was a change. I wanted to go somewhere, anywhere. I didn't care where it was. Hell had to be better than the life I was forced to live. Miss Watson said that it was sinful to talk that way. She lived in a way that would allow her to go to heaven when she died. Well, I could see no advantage in going to heaven if she was going to be there, so I decided that I wouldn't try for it.
There was a cry, and the knife dropped, shining upon the black floor, upon which a moment later, Prospero himself fell, dead. The dancers then rushed into the black room. The strongest of the men tried to hold the masquerader, whose tall form stood beside the black clock. But when they put their hands upon him, they found inside the grave clothes no human form, no body, nothing. Now they knew that it was the Red Death itself that had come in the night. One by one the dancers fell, and each died as he fell. And the fires died, and the clock stopped, and darkness and decay. And the Red Death ruled forever over all.
"Can't argue with that," Remo said. "That's the ladies' room," he said, pointing to a sign that she had missed on her march from the gangway.
"Thank you,"
she said, and handed him the little red book.
"Treasure this with your life."
"Sure thing," he said, taking the plastic-bound book. Then she spun as if on a parade, and still entrapped in the huge gray coat, marched into the ladies' room. Remo could have sworn he saw her take toilet paper from her pocket before she entered.
"You are already reading the propaganda of that little wanton seducer," said Chun, looking triumphantly and at the same time disdainfully at the book.
"She's just a kid, Chun."
"Tiger cubs can kill. Children are the most vicious."
"Go! Go and make believers of the godless. Go and make believers in the valley of the atheists and the agnostics. Make believers of all true Americans."
Wild, tumultuous shouts and cries and clapping rumbled through the stadium, seeming to shake the very screen that Daniel and Lisa were watching the performance on.
"Yeah, he's really got him, hasn't he?" Daniel said, shaking his head in disgust.
"Not only has he got him, he's got him going now. He's a shrewd son of a bitch, too, picking the last day or the last delivery of the convention to address them, knowing that that's what they'll take home with them."
Tom said,
"What do you mean, work? That is work."
Tom returned to his painting.
"It may be work and it may not be, but it is fine for Tom Sawyer." "Do you mean that you enjoy it? Enjoy it? Does a boy have a chance to paint a fence every day?"
Here was a new idea. Ben stopped eating his apple. Tom moved his brush, stepped away to look at the result, added a little paint here and there, stepped away again. Ben watched. He was more and more interested. Then he said,
"Tom, let me paint a little."
Tom thought. Then he said,
"No, Ben. Aunt Polly wants this fence to be perfect. If it was the fence behind the house, you could help. But this fence, beside the street, must be done very carefully. There is not one boy in 1,000 who can do it well. Oh, Tom, let me try. Only a little. I will be careful, Tom. I'll give you part of my apple." "No, Ben, I'm afraid I will give you all of it."
Tom gave the brush to Ben, slowly, but with joy in his heart. And while the boy, who a few moments before had been a riverboat worker and became hot in the sun, Tom sat under the tree, eating the apple and planning how to get more help. There were enough boys. They came along the street, stopped to laugh, but remained to paint.